Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Let's talk Hawkeye football. Sneaking in. Now, if you relate to practice, is that push-ups? Like, what would that mean? Or just never be late to practice.
Just
you don't want to know.
You're pushing the wood, essentially. There's a little 2x4.
Yeah.
You just push back and forth in the gym until they determine that you're ready to.
Oh my goodness, pushing the wood. That's the voice of Matt Vandenberg. So I'll tell you, you walked in. So Claire's on vacation. Cedar Rapids didn't have school today. So the girls wanted to go to Minneapolis to the Mall of America, and they're going to Paul McCartney tonight.
Wow.
The whole family.
That sounds a lot more fun than talking to you and me.
I would be also gone, too. But no, I was worried, though. Since it's just you and me, I'm like, we're going to talk football for like a half an hour. So we'll have to right. have to time it out here. Matt Vandenberg coming in as we talk Hawks. So my brother and sister-in-law both went to UW-Madison. And the question at dinner last night, because my brother's in town, is are we seeing signs of progress? Is Wisconsin that bad? Is it yes to both questions? What happened in that Iowa-Wisconsin game?
Yes and yes. Iowa looked like the team that we expected them to be, right? Like stable running backs, and we don't even have Jazz Patterson yet
right.
back. But our zone scheme was really working, and typically Wisconsin's 3-4 front gives us a little, I don't want to say problem, but you just got to know who you're blocking to, who you're blading to, all that kind of stuff.
So when you're saying zone scheme, you hear zone both on defense and offense. This is how the line comes up. Our offensive line, and they have areas they're supposed to protect, and people basically they're supposed to move out of the way?
Yes.
Or is
and
it
no.
more of a running scheme?
It's strictly when you run the football, it's a
got
zone
it.
Running scheme.
Okay.
So it's more about the track you take. So in defense, it's like, all right, I've got the flat, so I know kind of anybody that comes into this area, I stay put, and as they come into my area, I'm going to go guard them essentially.
Sure.
For a zone running scheme, what happens is they've got a track, and so they might take a drop step and then run a loop, and essentially anybody that comes near them, that's who they're blocking. But they're on the move.
Sure.
Right? They don't stay stagnant. What happens then is typically our running backs are taught to press the hole. And what that means is, let's say the ball's supposed to go between the guard and the tackle on the right side. They are going to run to that guard and tackle on the right side. That's where the play's supposed to hit. But in a zone running scheme with everybody moving this way, it's almost meant for a cutback.
Oh, interesting.
So although it's supposed to hit between yep. the guard and tackle, and if everybody does their job, you might just go straight through. But a lot of times the linebackers will read guards and go there. Well, because of the way the zone running scheme is meant to be, where everybody's flowing, you stick your foot in the ground and you cut back to the left because nobody should be there. So it's almost set up to be that way. And we did that. I mean, Nathan McNeil did that as a true freshman against Wisconsin. Xavier Williams did it a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it was one of those things where everybody was reading what they were supposed to read. And when that happens, Iowa's run game is almost unstoppable.
As we get prepared for Penn State, is that just the game plan then? We just kind of stick with that? Or we have to make adjustments, though, because every defense is different
yes.
when we face different teams.
Correct. And it's like, who's blitzing, who's not, right? So in the 3-4, again, like Wisconsin typically runs, one of their linebackers comes. So you have to assume one of them will come because they only have 3 down linemen. Typically, teams like to rush 4. We might have talked about this earlier in the year, but it's similar to that.
Right.
Whereas you have more 4 down linemen, you expect them to come, but now who else is blitzing? And that's kind of as you go through as they do their normal analytics on who they break down and things like that. But yes, it will be a similar game plan. And that's the thing that, going back to your Wisconsin question, you have to stay true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin has completely flipped, right? They don't have the 2,000-yard rusher that we've seen almost for like the last 20 years.
Right, that was
like.
Always Wisconsin football.
Yes,
right.
Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, Ron Dane, right? Guys that are up for the Heisman because of how well they run the football. And now they went away from that. Well, what happens is when you have an identity crisis, you don't know what you're, I don't want to say you don't know what you're doing, but you're trying to figure out what to do.
You might
next.
Be questioning it more
yes.
in the midst of the game.
Correct. And I think it's more about having the full system. So in Iowa, having a full system, they can do the slow read like they did against Iowa State, which is not common to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we incorporated the pistol into our power running game. In our zone scheme, it all fits together to where it's not a completely new offense that you're throwing at these people, if that makes sense.
It does to me.
So there's enough of a shift to, and I feel like this is the whole thing when it comes down to playbooks. It's tradition versus innovation, right? This is what we've always done and it works, but how can I tweak it just a little bit versus I'm going to abandon ship and go completely new and innovative and now I'm running the spread and all this stuff.
Which feels like we knew Wisconsin to be A and now
yes.
they feel like they're more B and I'm
yes.
sure their fans are not happy with that. You've got a
they
team
seem
coming.
Fickle about it.
Yeah, there it is again. But okay, so that's the name. How does Fickell still have a job today, and the head coach of Penn State does not have a job, and with a interim coach coming in, how does Iowa prepare for that?
To your first
team?
Question, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, James Franklin, they were up 7 on a top 3 team at home, one win away from being probably number 1 in the country if they beat Oregon, to losing to UCLA. Now, UCLA is starting to figure some stuff out.
Right.
Maybe that loss isn't as bad as we thought it was. And then, obviously, Northwestern. That's a tough one to lose at
yeah,
home. I mean, he's being booed out of the stadium. I don't know how quickly they were looking to move him, but I do know, like, they showed some of his records against top 10 teams, top 25. I think he was 15-30 overall against top 25 teams. I'm sure that had something to do with it. But to come into, and I was actually watching something not too long ago after the whole Sandusky scandal,
yeah.
right? Bill O'Brien came in, kind of made it a little bit stable at Penn State after they couldn't go to bowl games and things. But James Franklin really took that program and made it good.
He did. They were synonymous.
Yes. I mean, they were coming from Vanderbilt. They did well at Vanderbilt, was able to go there. So I'm shocked at how quickly they were to flip, because you're going to have ups and downs. I mean, KF talks about it all the time. Fight through the ups and downs, play the full 60 minutes, and in this case, play the full 12-game season. But I feel like teams are more and more getting away from letting them finish their tenure of the season
right.
because they already want to start the new recruiting trip.
Yeah.
And it's tough with how quick that moves. Now, how does it play into Saturday's game?
That's as a fan, so I know a couple things. There's a different head coach now for Penn State.
Correct.
And they have a different quarterback.
Yes.
So what does that mean for Iowa preparation? What are we going to see on the field tomorrow night?
So the interim stuff is really interesting, because there's one of two ways you can go. Either one, we're really mad about the whole thing and we're going to go lay an egg because we don't have any juice. It's not our guy, that kind of stuff.
Kind of the air is out of the balloon.
Correct.
Yep.
The second side of it is, I'm glad that guy's gone and now I'm going to go play, right. go play really hard. Right. And I do think there's a pride aspect to Penn State.
Oh, sure.
I mean, their whole saying is, we are Penn State.
Right. Yeah.
So I anticipate pride. Now, the one thing that plays in Penn State's favor is that the interim head coach has been there the entire time with James Franklin. So he understands kind of what to expect, what the standard was prior to. Obviously, Penn State hopes it's a higher standard than the last three games. But so he understands how things operate there. It's not like you're bringing in a guy who's like, I've only been here 2 years. I don't really know how to manage all this. I kind of liken it to when Coach Wallace had to take over for the one game for KF.
Oh, sure.
Where he's been here for a long time. He understood what it was. And then Iowa went out and played really hard because nothing changed.
Right.
Right. So I expect something similar with that. I think it's going to be more about pride. I think Penn State's going to be like, I play for Penn State. I'm not losing 4 games in a row. So I expect a harder game probably than if James Franklin was coaching.
So does Iowa need to get either a big defensive? It's like something needs to change momentum. Do you think? Will that be a key to tomorrow's game?
I think it's going to be one of those where if we get a big play early, not saying that they'll break down and, you know,
right.
quit, but I think it'll be closer to quitting if we
set
get
the tone.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you get a big play early, go up. KF always talks about starting fast. If you can start fast, get points, get a stop right away, it almost is like, oh, here we go again. If you're on the other sideline.
Yeah.
And you hope that that's what they start
right,
thinking.
Exactly.
And we're like, oh, here we go again. This is Wisconsin all over again. So I'm hoping that's kind of where we go.
Getting excited for Iowa Penn State. It's a spirit game, straight up the stadium game. This is the point where I got to kick Matt out because I got to do a cash call and give away some cash. But before we let you go, what will be up next on your podcast?
So actually, we have Ben McCollum. He's coming out on Monday. We recorded this back in the summer when he actually had time. So now we're getting ready to drop that episode. It's going to be really exciting stuff. He's
a lot of excitement, either moving the student section right in Carver Hawkeye for
yes.
basketball, which
I feel
will
like
be exciting too.
There's a lot of changes happening in
yeah.
men's basketball, and I think he's going to be the forefront of getting some really cool things going.
Matt Vandenberg, thanks for joining us. Talking Hawks. I always look forward to it.
Thanks for having me.
From the lawn, it's the Z102.9 Marching Band.
All right, band and handbells. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Pretty good. Announcer's name, are you ready?
You bet.
No longer we dwell. Bring on the bells.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to halftime. Under the baton of director of bands, Danson, John, Philip, Sousa Hansen. And musical director, Greg Young. With special guests on handbells, Allison Chenoweth McGurn and Nicholas Philip Sousa Hansen. The Z102.9 marching band is confused. Apparently, band, we've added handbells to our instrument lineup, and typically handbells rarely see the light of day, kind of like your wedding china. And like your wedding china, when it comes to handbells, you end up wondering, when am I ever going to need this in my life? Sure, you'll see handbells at the occasional royal wedding or Christmas Eve church service, but where are handbells the other 364 days of the year? Do handbell players and handbells just wait in basements next to boxes and boxes of wedding china, hoping today's my day, today I'll be chosen? Don't worry, our brave, basement-dwelling, pasty-white, sun-deprived handbellers. I promise the band will come around, but for right now, best to stay to your own sides. Let's declare a truce between House Handbell and House Marching Band and not get all Game of Thrones.
One, two, three, one!
We should probably warn you now, Allison and Nicholas, the Z102.9 Marching Band takes a while to warm up to new things. They're pretty risk-averse. Claire once served them only gluten-free, vegetarian breakfast pizza. Can you believe that? There was a revolt. We had to serve double the gluten and a punch bowl full of Jack Link's beef jerky the next week. I'd expect similar things this morning, or maybe not. Hold up, listeners. I think there's a thaw in our band-bell relationship. The woodwinds are weaving delicate wreaths of grass and dried leaves to adorn your bell table. That's a rare sign of peace in the wild instrument kingdom. It appears the drumline recognizes you as one of their own, and they're offering a mallet-for-mallet trade. They're welcoming you into the herd. And can it be? Yes, I can't believe my eyes. Even the brass section is warming up to the bells and performing an ancient brass dance ritual. I'm a little rusty. I've seen this before. They're either wanting to be casual pals or mate with you for life. Either way, those hips don't lie. On behalf of the Z102.9 Marching Band, this is announcer's name, saying thank you to West Music, Trinity St. James United Methodist Church, Allison and Nicholas. Enjoy the second half, and go Hawkeyes!
It's great to be a Hawkeye!
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.